This is one of a series of lectures before a live audience using the studies of my God's Plan for Man book and my Bible chart. I am Finis Jennings Dake. The subject tonight is the pre-Adamite world and a little idea of the plan of the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Now this is what we call the Bible on canvas or God's Plan for Man. Somewhere on this one chart there is illustrated and made clear for you all the doctrines of the entire Bible, including the books of Daniel in this portion and the book of Revelation in this portion. This chart takes you from the eternal to eternal future. And all these balls drawn on this line represents periods of time from the time that God created his original kingdoms to the time that Jesus Christ reigns on the planet Earth forever, even forever and ever. Now this represents God in the eternal past. This represents the first verse of the Bible, the second verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. This represents the 6 days of the restoration of the earth from a chaotic state to a second habitable state and the creation of new land animals, fish and fowls, and man. This ball represents the Garden of Eden from the time of the fall of creation of man to the fall of man. And this, the 1656 year period between the fall of man and the flood of Noah. This period represents from the flood of Noah to the call of Abraham, what we call the dispensation of human government. This represents the period of time from the call of Abraham to the call of Moses, a period of 430 more years. Then this period represents the period of the law, from the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai to the kingdom of heaven preaching by John the Baptist. And this represents the crucifixion. This the age in which we now live. We are living just now before the rapture of the church. You can expect any time the trumpet to sound and the dead in Christ and the living in Christ will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air to be forever with the Lord. Well, this represents also the church age. Now, we've already lived 1900 years in this age, over 1900. And we're soon to expect Jesus Christ back from heaven with the armies of heaven to set up a kingdom in the world. But before that, he's going to come and take all the believers out of the world, what we call the rapture of the church. And this represents the tribulation period, the last 7 years of this age, during which time most of the book of Revelation will be fulfilled, especially from the 4th to the 19th chapters. And this represents the millennial reign of Jesus Christ and the renovation of the heavens and the earth by fire, the new heavens and the new earth in the eternal perfect state. Now below this black line, you have 5 prisons in the underworld of departed spirits. Tartarus, the abode of the angels that sin. Paradise, where all the righteous souls went before the resurrection of Christ. Christ took all these souls out of paradise, took them to heaven with him when he ascended on high. Now when a Christian dies, he no longer goes into the heart of the earth. He goes immediately to heaven, waiting the time of the resurrection of the body at what we call the time of the rapture of the church. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the Christian goes to be with Christ when he dies. The sinner goes to hell, believe it or not. And that's represented by this whole underworld here of departed spirits. This is where the wicked souls of men always have gone and always will go until the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Then this place will deliver up the dead which are in it. And then this place will deliver up the fallen angels and demons. And all these angels will come out of this compartment, and all down in the underworld of departed spirits will be brought up before the great white throne judgment as described in Revelation 20. Then they will all be cast into the lake of fire. Now let me give you a little idea of what God had in mind originally. Back here, he planned a kingdom, that he would be the supreme sovereign of all coming free moral agents that would ever come into existence by nation. He planned that not one person would ever lift up a finger against him, that he would be the supreme one. But Lucifer thought he could change that. And he, through pride, fell. Later on, when Adam was created at the beginning of this period, pride caused man to fall a second time. And the earth entered its second sinful career. This is the earth's first sinless career, represented by this first ball. And this represents the earth under chaos, under ruin, under a flood, judgment on the earth. Or we might say the first stage of the earth in rebellion. Then God restored the earth in 6 days to a second habitable state and made new land animals, fish and fowls and so on. Now back here, God created all the angelic hosts, made all the plan that you now have revealed in your Bible. In the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 18, we're told, known unto God are all of his works from the beginning of the world. Now God had something really worthwhile in mind when he created the planet Earth. According to Isaiah 45, 18, thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth. He created it to be inhabited. Not to be desolate like the moon is, but to be inhabited. And that's what's going to eventually be done. God had in mind back here when he created man long before the days of Adam, that if man should fall, well, he'd provide redemption. And since man did fall in the days of Adam, and since redemption has been provided by Jesus Christ in all these periods, we just get from that what God's purpose really is. He loves every one of you. He loves every one of us and wants us to know him in person and in reality. So back here he planned that there would be people living on the planet Earth in all eternity to come. Now that may sound a little strange to you, but I can give you many scriptures, and I will during the question period on any subject you want to ask about. To give you the idea of eternal or perpetual generations and perpetual societies on the planet Earth, just to settle your pure mind by way of remembrance, in the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis, when Noah came out of the ark, or rather before he went in, when he came out of the ark, said, you see that rainbow? That's a token of a contract between me and you and every living creature with you for perpetual generations. Perpetual generations. And if you ever learn what the word perpetual means, then that's very simple. Eternal, everlasting generations. Generations to come, one after another. I'll give you many scriptures to prove that later. But God had in mind that the earth would be a perfect earth, a sinless earth, and everyone living on the earth would be subject to him and do his will from the heart, not because they're forced to do so. Lucifer fell first, then Adam fell. And since Adam's fall, in every one of these periods, man has been in rebellion against God Almighty. And what God's purpose is now, what his whole program is now, is to try to bring man back to the place where he was before the fall, so that his original plan, as far as having an eternal, sinless habitation of the earth is concerned, it will be finally realized. So if you can conceive now in this one thought I'm going to give you, if you can conceive what would be the conditions on earth today if man had not fallen. Now you already know, right now, every one of you, you don't have to think very much about it. You know good and well there would have been no sin, no death, no tears, no sickness, no accidents, no suffering of any kind, would there? Never. Man would have behaved himself. Man, every man born of Adam, from Adam's day till now, would still be alive. And Grandpa Adam would still be alive. And he could stroke that old beard of his and say, son, I've been here a whole lot longer than you. I've been here 6,000 years. You're just starting your little sojourn on the earth. But at any rate, God had in mind eternal, perpetual generations, natural life, even of animals, plant life, everything in all eternity to come. In the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, verse 7, we read that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace toward us through Jesus Christ. I can't spend any further on this point, not to write to the subject of the pre-Adamite world itself. As we've said, this first ball represents God in the eternal past. This second ball represents the first verse of the Bible. Let's all turn to the Bible. You will bring your Bibles every time now. I want you to read with your own eyes exactly what the Bible says. And if I change one word of it, don't you believe it. If you change one word, I'm not going to believe it. And you just stick by what this book says. You're all intelligent enough to understand what the book says. It's in English. You don't have to listen to my interpretation of it. I don't have any interpretation. I'm not going to give you one during all these days to come. I'm going to give you what the Bible says. Let it go with that. If you've got sense enough to know how to read English, or you've got sense enough to know how to understand the Bible, that's how simple the whole thing is. So now don't think that it's a complicated thing. It is not. It's a simple thing to get the knowledge of the Bible. In fact, I'm going to make the statement the first night, and I hope I can do it two or three times by the last night, that the Bible is the most simple book in the world to understand. That's almost blasphemy, isn't it? But it should be that way, shouldn't it? I don't know if you were giving a series of revelation, you were telling us of facts that had happened, that were going to happen, he had in mind that he was going to bring about, we would certainly expect you to be sensible and give it simple enough so we could all understand it. What was that we dreamed of? And Lucifer ruled the earth. If you'll turn to the 14th chapter of the book, I think we'll go back though to start with the first verse of the Bible. I think that'd be the best thing to do. Then we'll take up the story of Lucifer, these other things. Genesis 1:1. Way back in the dark, intangible nothing. Billions of years before the earth gathered form. Somehow came gloom, came volume and substance, somehow came light and came storm. Nebulous fire floated out of nowhere. Then by the millions came suns, moons, and comets, formed their own course and rolled in the same. Then came an amoeba, protoplasm, just happened, you know. Stirred from its shapelessness, took form and motion, learned by experience just how to grow. Then through all the diversified forms that we see, made appear monkey, scratched, grinned, chattered, then climbed a tree. Now if son of an ape will come forward and remove this mysterious veil, perhaps he can tell how his nimble ancestry succeeded in shedding the fur and the tail. This weird myth men put above Genesis, this gruesome rise of man from the clod, maniac's dream instead of our Bible, nightmare of science instead of our God, the modern version of Genesis 1:1. Is that the way your version reads? You must have an ancient version. You must have the old Bible then. But all that, what I said, that's what they tell us. That's what they're telling you in the schools. A little tadpole came along and he shed his little tail and came across four little legs and he turned into something else. And finally a little monkey got here, and you finally got here after billions and billions of years. Now you know good and well that is absolute nonsense. I'm going to call it just that. You know good and well that everything that you see around this place tonight, anything you see around here, anything you're wearing, anything you're sitting on, anything you see around here tonight, it has been planned, designed, and made by somebody other than a tadpole. Turn this job over to a tadpole, see how many billions and billions of eternities it'd take him to bring about what you see here tonight. Now you folk are sensible. And you know good and well that back of everything there is a cause. And back of all these things we see here, there were intelligent brains working these things out and hard work every day to bring these things about. When we would look at the sun, the stars, all those things, we've got enough sense also in connection with that to know that that just didn't happen. That they would have to have a bigger brain and a bigger power and a bigger somebody planning and bringing about all those things than these things we see around about us here. Is that right? That's sensible. All right, now the Bible teaches us that the heavens were of old. The Bible teaches us that God planned creations of free moral agents, intelligent beings, to live on the planet Earth. He did so. They were not Adamites. They were other human beings that lived on the earth long before Adam. Now then, just a word to prove to you that this I quoted to you a minute ago is not scriptural. It is not even sensible. Let's take up two or three statements in the Bible and find out just how these things did get here. Now go to your ancient version, Genesis 1:1. Let's see what it says. All of you, turn to Genesis 1:1. Let's all read it together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who did that? God. Not some tadpole or monkey tail. God. God created all these things, you see. In Ephesians 3:9, we're told that God created all things by Jesus Christ. In John 1:3-10, and Hebrews 1:2, we read that by Christ were all things made, and there wasn't anything that was made that wasn't made by him. So you see, the Bible teaches not evolution, but creation by a personal, intelligent, and all-powerful God. Now you believe that, don't you? Right here we have then, in the first verse, the idea how these things came into existence. God created or brought into existence the heavens and the earth. Now then, I said there were men living on earth before the days of Adam, and let's go to the Bible now and see if we cannot find scriptures that plainly reads that way, so we won't have to argue about it the rest of the night. Let's turn to the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 12 to 14. And while you're turning to that, let me say that in Genesis 1:28, God himself gave us another proof that there were inhabitants on earth before Adam, when he said to Adam, "You multiply and replenish the earth." You replenish the earth. Now that means the earth had been plenished before. And now, what was to be done? Adam was to take the place of those pre-Adamites, the people that had lived on the earth before his day and who were all destroyed because of the sins of verse 2 of this chapter. And he wanted him now to replenish the planet earth with mankind. Now some Bible scholars will go along with you and say that angels inhabited the earth, but that isn't the teaching of the Bible. The Bible teaches that man inhabited the earth. I'm talking about man now. Before I prove that, look at the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 12 to 14. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High." He even said, "Here I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds." That's getting a kingdom down pretty low, isn't it? Get a kingdom down under the clouds, it would have to be right here on the planet Earth. And who was it that said this? Lucifer. And all Bible scholars will agree that Lucifer, the Bible tells us that heaven is in the north part of the universe. Right here we have the idea stated where he said, "I will ascend into heaven into the sides of the north." The 75th Psalm tells us promotion cometh not from the east or from the west or from the south, but promotion cometh from the north. Promotion cometh from the Lord. So when you pray, don't pray eastward like the Mohammedans. Pray northward like a Christian. Set your faith upward. Pray northward. All right, now here's the fact I want you to get out of this passage. That there was somebody that rebelled against God, and that somebody said, "I'm going to cast God off his throne. I'm going to be like the Most High myself. I'm going to take his place. I'm going to exalt my throne and my kingdom above God. I'm going to put him out. He's not going to rule over me any longer." That's what this passage plainly tells us. And not only that, now another question, which all you boys and girls, I don't care how small you are, you know the answer to this question. And I'll do the asking. Listen carefully now. When did this happen? Was Lucifer a fallen creature when he came into Adam's Eden or not? Had he ever had a fall before he came into Adam's Eden? Was he a fallen creature when he came into Adam's Eden? Everybody will say yes. Everybody knows anything about it. All if they don't know anything about it, they know that much. That Lucifer was already a fallen creature by the time he came into Adam's Eden. So now this passage in Isaiah is talking about a time before he even exalted himself. He's planning to do it. And he did do it because he was cast out of heaven back down to the ground. So the question is asked, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Thou said in thine heart, I'll do this, and that's what he wanted to do. Now then, if he was a fallen creature before he came into Adam's Eden, then all this rebellion, all this exaltation of himself against God, and trying to get his kingdom exalted into God's heaven, all took place before the days of Adam. You just can't get around the fact. Here is one simple scripture then. We don't have another. Proving that Lucifer was a fallen creature. He had already had his rebellion. He had already become Satan. He had already tried to invade heaven, but was defeated in his try, and here he is down on the ground now. All right, now another scripture. Jeremiah 4, 23 to 26. And you have a Jeremiah in your Bible, I'm confident. Jeremiah 4, 23 to 26. Now listen carefully what the prophet Jeremiah said. Now you're supposed to believe preachers and angels and God and everything they say. And here's what this preacher said. I beheld the what? Earth. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. The heavens had no light. The birds of the heavens were fled. The fruitful place had become a wilderness, and the cities broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. Now you notice here we have the condition of the earth as exactly described by Moses in the second verse of the Bible. And turn back to the second verse and keep your finger right here at this passage. Let me show you. Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. In the beginning, way back in the eternal past, God created or brought into existence the heavens and the earth. But notice the condition in verse 2 now. The earth was, how? Without form and without void. The heavens had no light. It was total darkness here. And then what else? There was a universal flood on the earth in verse 2. Flood covering all the earth, and darkness covering all the flood. Now this isn't Noah's flood. That wasn't until 1656 years after Adam was created. We're talking about a flood in the second verse of your Bible. And we call it Lucifer's flood, the thing that caused God to destroy men that lived on the earth before the days of Adam. Sin. Sin, that was the thing. And because of sin, God sent a flood back here in the second verse of the Bible, just like we read of the flood of Noah in the 6th to the 8th chapters of the Bible. Now here we have a definite statement then that the earth was filled with darkness and covered with water and everything was totally desolate. Then the Spirit of God, we read in this verse, began to brood or move over the face of the waters. I see, Jeremiah saw the earth in the same cursed condition that Moses described. Exactly the same words in your English version, and it's the same Hebrew phrase, tohu, bohu, literally meaning desolate and empty. The earth became, the second verse tells us here, desolate and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. In the Dake Bible, you will find 20 great contrasts between the flood of Noah and the flood of Lucifer. And whether you find one contrast or not, they have to acknowledge now, I believe you will, if you be just fair with the whole setup, that there was water covering the total earth in verse 2. Is that right? What is that but a flood? Did you ever see a flood cover the whole earth and then not call it a flood? You ever hear of anybody else being that foolish? Has to say a flood covering the whole of everything isn't a flood? What is a flood? Flood is a deluge of water, a great outpouring of water to destroy things. Here we have the earth totally underwater in darkness, proving there was a flood in the second verse of the Bible before Adam was even created. Why did God send that flood? For the same reason that he sent the flood of Noah, 1656 years after the creation of Adam. So just be sensible with your book here now, the second two verses. Just be simple with it. Don't try to get hidden meanings out of it. Just get what's on the surface there. Here we have the earth, not the heavens, but the earth, desolate and empty, and darkness is upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God begins to move on the face of the waters, and in 6 days God restored the earth to a second habitable state and made new land animals, fish and fowls, and man. Now going back to Jeremiah 4:23, he said, I saw the earth, and I saw it the same in the same condition that Moses saw it, without form and void. Now then, let's reason just a few moments. Be childlike enough to be fair with truth itself, just as we discover it in the Bible. Here we have men on earth, birds on earth, darkness on earth, fruitful places all totally destroyed, birds of the heavens fled, complete destruction. Here we have in Jeremiah 4:23-26. No man, no bird, no vegetation left, and the heavens have withheld their light, total darkness, exactly the same as you have in Genesis 1:2. And it means the same. Now here's the reasoning I want to present to you. Back here, from the time of the second verse of the Bible on through all the period of Adam on earth, and all this period up to the time of the flood of Noah, all this period up to Abraham, and up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and going right on into all eternity. Has there ever been a time, in other words, from the time of Moses, or to the time Jeremiah saw this, to the time that man was totally destroyed off of the earth? In other words, has man ever been totally destroyed off of the earth from the time of Adam till now? All right, you can't associate then this scripture, Jeremiah 4:23-26, with any period from Adam to the time of Jeremiah. All right, when did Jeremiah live? He lived in this period of the law, about 650 years or 750 years before the coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. Now then, let's ask another simple question. Will there ever be a time from Jeremiah's day into all eternity to come, or let's say up to our day, between Jeremiah's day and our day, that the earth has been totally desolate, without a bird, without a fruitful place, without a city or anything? Has there ever been a time? No. All right, let's take from our day, just before the rapture of the church, and ask another question. Will there ever be a time in the future that the earth will be totally desolate and a complete flood on the earth again and total destruction of every bird and every man and every fruitful place? Will there ever be such a thing? No. God himself swore back here at the time of the flood of Noah that I will never send another waters on the earth to destroy all flesh as I have done. I'll never do it. And he's not going to do it any other way. So you might say then, from the time that Adam, or the time that Jeremiah and Moses saw this condition of the earth here, into all eternity, there never has been and never will be total destruction on the earth as we have here described in Jeremiah 4:23-26. Therefore, we are obligated to put it back at Genesis 1:2, where Moses saw it. That's the only time that anybody ever saw the earth totally desolate, without birds and fruitful places and so on. And if that be the case, that's why we have cities back here in the first ball, which represents the earth before the second ball here, the curse on the earth. Here you have cities. We read here the cities were broken down. And who lives in cities? Human beings like we are. You never defined a dog city, did you? Or an elephant city? Or a giraffe city? You've heard of Grant cities and things like that. But you've never one time ever heard of a dog city or any other city but what men make. So if there were cities broken down, then men must have made those cities. And they were subject to death, or they would still be here, you see. And not only that, he said there was no bird, no fruitful place, no light in the heavens. See, all those automatically back here before Genesis 1:2. And that proves, you see, there were people on earth before Adam's day. There were cities, birds, fruitful places, and so on. So we have to associate those scriptures back here, not since Adam's creation in the sixth day of the restoration of the earth. All right, now let's turn to another simple scripture to prove that the earth was totally desolate, made desolate because of the sin of man. Turn to the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel this time, verses 28 or 12 to 28. Here we have a plain statement. Take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, thy pipes were prepared to thee in the day that thou wast created. Till in verse 15, till what? Iniquity was found in thee. See here, Lucifer at verse 15 was perfect, sinless, till iniquity was found in him. That means that Lucifer himself one time was a sinless angel and lived in perfection without sin, in obedience to God for a long unknown period. And when was iniquity found in him? It was when he said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the congregation the sides of the north. I will be like the most. That's what had happened. So you see, here's another scripture describing Lucifer even before he fell into sin. And that takes us back before his rebellion. Now look at verse 17. That'll tell you the cause of his sin. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thyself by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from amidst the stones of the fire. Now here we have Lucifer being dealt with and having a wonderful kingdom and living in perfection and sinlessness for a certain time. How long, we don't know. Till iniquity was found in him. He got the idea that he could dethrone God and have God's universe all to himself and all to all the other angels. And the Bible teaches us here that by the multitude of thy merchandise, or traffic, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. That means that Lucifer walked up and down among the other angels of God, who were no doubt rulers on other planets, to get their cooperation with him in overthrowing the planet Earth and getting control of things down here. And to prove there were other kingdoms other than the Earth, in Colossians 1:15 we read, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This tells you he created thrones, dominions, heaven, and an earth. So the planet heaven and the planet earth are not the only two things that God has ever created. The 8th Psalm says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and didst set him over the work of thy fingers. The sun, the moon, the stars which thou hast made. Astronomers themselves tell us that they have discovered over 400 billion planetary systems out in space. Have they discovered 400 billion more? That's okay. God made them all. Christ made them all. And they're out there. And there's more than just a little planet Earth inhabited. So here said verse 17, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Now Paul advised the churches in his day this. 1 Timothy 3:6, do not choose a new convert to the office of a bishop or a deacon, lest being lifted up in pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So you preachers and you teachers and you folk that vote on deacons, you better be careful who you put in office. Get somebody that's a little mature anyway, not just a new convert that'll permit it to go to his head. Lucifer had to go to his head, and I don't know how long he lived without sin. But he finally got him, and his pride caused him to fall, and his fall caused this flood of Genesis 1-2 that we're talking about. Now let's go to a scripture in the New Testament. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 35, to show you this subject is in both Testaments. Jesus said here, I will open my mouth and utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now here that means overthrow of the world. The Greek word for overthrow here, or for foundation, is ketabole, which literally means to throw down, to cast down, to completely destroy and do away with. So it's the overthrow of the world, and Peter referred to it, and turned to this one more scripture at least. The third chapter of 2 Peter. Third chapter of 2 Peter in verses 5 and 6. Here we read Peter talking about the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, did what? Perished. You got it? Look at that reference carefully now. Heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water, in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are what? Now. He is kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And we, according to his promise, look for new heavens, verse 13 of this passage, new heavens and new earth. So here you have three worlds, believe it or not. He said the world that then was. Look here at the chart. The world that then was. The world that now is. And in verse 13, the world that is going to be. Three worlds he talks about. If the world that then was is the same as the world that now is, then there wasn't anything as a world before the world that now is. There was only the world that now is and never any world before the world that now is. See? But there was a world, he said, that now is, meaning the world before Adam's day, being overflowed with water in Genesis 1, 2, perished. That means that men were subject to drowning. They were not angels that inhabited the earth, as some Bible scholars would have you believe. Not that at all. They were men subject to drowning. You can't drown angels. You read in Revelation 9, go and loose the four angels that are bound in the river Euphrates. They've been there for centuries and they haven't drowned yet. But you can't drown angels. So if the inhabitants on the earth were angels, he never could have drowned. The world would have continued right on, even under the water. So the idea is here, there was a world that then was before the world that now is, and there is a world that now is before the world that is going to be, and these two worlds are after the world that now is, or else there wasn't any world that now is at all. So that makes it very clear that there were three worlds, world that then was, world that now was, in the 6 days of restoration to the earth, and then the world that is going to be after the millennium in the new heavens and the new earth and the eternal perfect state. All right, now let's go just a little further. We have covered now two testaments briefly. We pointed out to you that men lived on the earth, men that were subject to drowning. And Isaiah 14 makes it very clear that they were nations. They were divided into nations like we are today. For it said there in Isaiah 14, which didst weaken the nations. See, he had already weakened the nations. He wasn't weakening angels. Although he got over one-third of God's angels to rebel with him, well, that wasn't what his purpose was. His purpose was to do away with God's kingdom on the earth and go to heaven where God lived. And according to Revelation, the 12th chapter, where we have a great red dragon, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and those are explained to be the sons of God or the fallen angels. So now notice they're called nations in Isaiah. They're called men in Jeremiah. There was no man, no bird, no fruitful place. Cities were broken down. And here they're drowned. They were drowned. Meaning, at the flood of Genesis 1, 2, drowned every pre-Adamite. That left the earth a total desolate earth. Because the birds were all killed, the animals were all killed, men were all killed, fruitful places were all destroyed, cities were all destroyed and overthrown. And so we have now, coming to our period, the history of the Bible deals with our race, the race as we know it in Adam's race. Oh, you say, I never did hear anything about the pre-Adamite race. Well, that's why you're here. You're here to get this information. And we want to pass on this information just as quickly as we can. And I promise you, you'll begin to see daylight as we go on down toward the end of the horn. All right, we have then world that then was, the world that now is, and the world that is going to be. A world before Adam, pre-Adamites, they were real men living on the planet Earth, ruled by Adam, by Lucifer himself, and later on Adamites were created and were ruled by Adam and not by Lucifer.